This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Great day for Colorado State, in my opinion. We've covered, we've talked about this a lot in the show, and really cool to get Hugh Millen on to talk about this, because the two of them are pretty darn tight. And I mean, hell, he's telling us he spoke at his wedding. So that's I mean, getting Hugh's insight on that was fantastic. But a guy's insight that we absolutely love to get on the show also is the Rams insider from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and the Kevin Lytle. Kevin, we've thrown out a lot of names on this show, on Rams Weekly, in the Colorado, whatever. Jim Mora was not one we talked about, my friend.
Nope, definitely not. That's a surprising name, I think, especially over the last, I don't know, week or so. I started to feel and say, I think this is going to be something that we don't really see coming, and sure enough, that's the case.
I mean, I was so stunned to see this, Kevin. Obviously, his resume, we've went into that a lot today, but what he did at UConn, I'll be honest, I kind of forgot they had a football team. And Jim Mora, just talk about resurrecting something. I mean, that wasn't, they were awful. They were a non-factor, and he made them relevant. And I know that's the hope, that he can bring that to Colorado State.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, UConn, I mean, just like you said, it's obviously a basketball powerhouse in both men's and women's basketball, and pretty much an afterthought in football previously. UConn in the five seasons before Mora was 9-50, which is just a staggeringly bad number. And then under Mora, 27-23, 9-3 this season, bowl in every year but one. I think it's probably worth noting that in year one, he took them to a bowl, which I think is something CSU will be looking for. So, you know, all those things are kind of reasons why, you know, I think CSU and CSU fans are pretty excited about this. Of he took a program that does not win, and he won.
Do you expect to see a lot of guys from UConn enter that transfer portal? There's a couple guys we were talking about. There's a stud wide receiver, stud running back. I think their backup quarterback is interesting, too, because I think he has a year or two left of eligibility. I would imagine we're going to start seeing that pretty soon, too, right?
Yeah, I think all of those things. I mean, the portal is not open and will not be open for UConn players probably for a while officially, but you can obviously, like we've seen a couple CSU players do, you can, you know, leave. He will bring players. That's just the way of the college sports world right now. Who it is will be interesting. I mean, I wrote after the Boise game and the Curry incident and all that, but even it wasn't really related to the Curry incident, that task number one for the new CSU coach is get the right quarterback, because it's been so long since CSU has done that. So that is definitely still the case for Mora, but given his success, and I mean, they're, I think, 15th in the nation in scoring offense, UConn is. I would think, you know, whether it's a guy coming from UConn or someone else in the portal, they'll be able to attract a good quarterback.
What do you think the salary is going to look like as far as, like, contract details? I know you noted in your story in the Coloradoan today the buyout portion, too, on UConn's side to leave. What are you guessing we're going to see? And you also noted Jay Norvell's salary this last year was 1.9. Got to imagine we're going significantly over that, right?
Yeah, it's got to be well north of that. I mean, Jim Mora was just over 2 this year after an extension they got last year. So, you know, you have to imagine it's probably at least a decent bit over that. So I'm working on getting the contract. I hope to have that pretty soon here. But But yeah, I would have to think, you know, high twos, you know, feels likely. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the reason that could, you know, be of interest to a coach like him is the other resources too. I mean, that's kind of why Jay Norvell came over, is, you know, assistant coach pay, you know, resources for the roster obviously is a big one, all that type of stuff. So all of that is going to be involved in, but yeah, clearly CSU is investing heavily.
How do you think a name like Jim Mora, who has the resume, but the name is certainly big in football, how do you think that will impact the NIL situation? Like, is this something overnight where, you know, we got donors coming out of nowhere now throwing more dollars at this thing? How do you see that going?
Maybe a bit of that, but no, I think it's still going to take some work. There's, you know, plenty of CSU fans that, you know, maybe even still look at this and say, okay, sounds good, but, you know, kind of prove it to me, because, you know, CSU hasn't succeeded. I think the thing you can get with someone like this is people you don't know, you know, that aren't necessarily tied to CSU, but they're tied to Mora, who could come in and say, hey, I'll throw a bit of cash at that because he's my guy. I want him to succeed. So, you know, that's always, you know, a possible benefit, especially I think with a veteran who's been in a lot of areas. They obviously are tied to a lot of people. So you could have someone come in and say, you know what? You know, again, CSU doesn't really mean anything to me, but Jim Mora does, so I want to throw him some money.
What are the negatives that you're seeing, Kevin, that kind of stick out to you? Because everything seems fairly positive. Maybe the age thing, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, age means it's most likely not a super long term. You know, he's not going to be the coach for 25 years, you know, at CSU, I don't think. For that, I don't care. I've been really annoyed at people saying, well, you know, if that guy comes in, he'll win and leave. It's like, well, no, this program's been losing, so don't worry about the guy leaving. Worry about them winning.
Yeah.
That's a small one. His UCLA tenure the last couple of years wasn't very good, but, you know, that was quite a while ago now, and it's just different. I think some of the main concerns aren't really Mora specific. They're just what CSU was going to have to fight no matter what, of you have to have money to build a roster and all that jazz. You have to win back the fan base. All of those things were going to be relevant no matter who the hire was, and they still are. And, you know, frankly, just CSU has not won consistently. So you just need to shake that one way or another. So I don't see like massive red flags like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. But it would be naive to say that, oh, all is good, you know, 10 wins next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take some time, like you said. But I got to tell you, for me personally, CSU, like going into the Pac-12, at this stage where they were, just fired a coach, they continue to lose, we had the spitting thing, whatever. It just felt like they were going into the Pac-12 as maybe bottom of the barrel, maybe not even a maybe. They were bottom of the barrel. Overnight, it feels like suddenly, I'm not saying they have the best roster, but they become one of the more interesting stories now, maybe the sexier of all these teams going into the Pac-12.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it changes, yeah, the narrative around it. Because, yeah, right, you know, how this season has gone, it was CSU and Oregon State at the very, very bottom and looking way up at everyone else. But this one gets some buzz, some positive energy. It's kind of fun and, I guess, ironic in a way that he's coming back to the Pac-12 after coaching UCLA. Obviously, it's a very different Pac-12 than he coached in, but you know, that connection is fascinating. And it does. It just changes the energy and narrative. And now everyone, you know, I tweeted it, game one, September 5th against Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a whole different vibe around that one compared to a couple weeks ago when, you know, CSU lost 28-0 to Wyoming right after firing Jay Norvell. So the vibe very quickly turns very different.
Yeah, I have to admit, all the names you and I were talking about over the last few weeks, it wasn't that I was negative on them. It was just kind of like, we'll see. And again, with Jim Mora, we still have to see as well. But there's certain names that you do hear and suddenly you go, wow, that I did not expect. That's great. Colin Klein. I had my, okay, great. What if he's not interested? Is that really a name that's going to make sense for Colorado State? There was just a ton of those names that I kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, yeah, that's fine. But with Jim Mora, this does feel like that mic drop moment for John Weber and his staff.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. I think, you know, if you just kind of scroll through reaction to UConn fans, it's mostly like, oh, no, like this is awful for us. And how'd they do this? And, you know, even some bitterness almost of, well, if he is going to leave, I thought it was going to be for a P4 and that would have been fine. But, you know, what some view as a lateral, obviously Jim Mora does not view it as a lateral move. But all those things, I think, again, show why this on the surface sure looks like a good hire. Because, yeah, I think all those ones, you know, Colin Klein, certainly a lot of, you know, traction in a lot of different ways. But he's a new coach, you know, first-time head coach, whenever that becomes. You know, for some of the FCS guys, it's like, okay, they've won at a lower level when they were the big dogs. But, what happens when they're not necessarily the big dog as far as resources and whatnot? A lot of questions all around. But Mora seems to check a lot of the boxes.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And on the former players for CSU, we had a couple of guys saying they're going to enter the portal. Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, Jalen Dupree, those are the big names. And then I'll ask you about Owen Long. Do you see any of those guys changing their mind? Do you see if they do change their mind, CSU wants them back? Have you thought about that side of things yet, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, there's no chance Braden Fowler Nicolosi is coming back. I don't see how that could happen for either party, frankly.
Yeah.
And even Dupree, kind of the same way. I think it would be, you know, we'll see who stays, but I think it would be pretty hard to reintegrate onto that roster after leaving with 3 weeks ago. So I would be stunned if those guys try an about face.
Yeah, I wonder if they're regretting that decision. I don't know. Maybe they aren't. Owen Long, does this increase the chances of CSU being able to retain him?
I would say slightly, but I still think that's very, very difficult. Not because of anything negative to CSU, just because of, frankly, how good Owen Long is and how many people will be trying to get him.
Kevin, it is a wild time, my friend. No Rams Weekly tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving, of course, but we'll look forward to recharging that with you next week. I plan to be out there Monday. I guess they're going to introduce Jim Mora as CSU's head coach, 3:00 on Monday. So I'm looking forward to that, man.
Yep, press conference 3, and next weekend CSU men's basketball hosts CU, and I would not be shocked if Jim Mora were to walk out at halftime of that one or pregame or something. That's a kind of a tradition for new coaches.
Yeah, I'm loving it, man. Hugh Millen was on with us earlier, Kevin, and he mentioned, now he said it, so I can talk about it, but a text that he got from Jim Mora about his interest in CSU was basically like, we want to get into the college football playoffs. We see the path there. I see the path there through the Pac-12 more than any of these other places. And there were other big guys saying, hey, watch out for Jim Mora as far as some Power 4 opportunities down the road. So for Jim to text that, I think is just, Rams fans should be really pumped about that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, there's a much longer discussion to have, but I do think it's actually a more direct path to the playoff of go win the Pac-12 than, say, an Oklahoma State where it's probably harder to win the Big 12. I think the Pac-12 winner every year is going to have a pretty good chance to get that, whatever, G5, G6, whatever you want to call it, spot in the playoff.
No question about it, my man. Kevin, appreciate you, dude. Loved your work on this, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there on Monday, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. You too.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, Hugh told us that Jim, like in a text thread, it's basically like, I see the path to the college football playoffs there. Mike, do you have any like negatives on this? Is it the schedule? UConn really didn't play. I mean, you're the football elitist. You would say they didn't really play anybody. Is that a concern?
I mean, like you could say some negative stuff about CSU. If CSU had a really good coach, but they also didn't play anybody, they're in a lower conference.
Well, Jay did that last year, and how did he follow it up this year, right? And Jim Mora did that last year, and how did he follow it up this year? 2 years in a row it's not typically a coincidence, you know?
But also, he does have a history at UCLA of being good.
Yep.
His first 3 years, I think he had like 29 wins or something.
Yeah.
He was sub-500 the last 3 years, and as Hugh Millen said, he had to deal with a lot of the UCLA politics.
Correct.
Now, I don't know how much of the politics go into the UCLA system. I know it's so much easier to recruit when you're at USC than at UCLA because there's so much more prestige at USC.
Mm-hmm. No, this is it's pretty exciting times. I mean, again, those of you that are like, who did he play in UConn? Go back and look what he did at UCLA. Every coach is name a coach that hasn't been fired. Nick Saban, I guess, but he, I mean, every coach is getting fired, Mike. At some point, the coach is going to get fired. Oh, you got a fired guy from UCLA. They liked him so much they fired him. He was good for 4 years there, and he had two down years, 4-8 and then 5-6, and they fired him. This is the world that we're in. Stop acting like this is new. Every coach at one point, for the most part, has been fired.
And that was in the Pac-12. That's two bad years in the Pac-12, and you can get fired.
Yeah,
I mean that happens to a lot of coaches in college.
That's how it goes, man. Just how it goes. Big day for Colorado State. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. The Broncos are going up against Washington. Not that Washington. We talked a lot about Washington already, Mike, so slow your roll.
The bad Washington.
Can the Broncos get to win number 10 this weekend against the Commanders? We'll talk about that. We got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up at 1. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.